Don't you just love that old hymn? I want to read, we just sang it, but I want to read the third verse. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. That's the gospel. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He took upon himself the debt that we owed, and he paid it on a cross. What a great thing to be loved enough by God himself that he would do that on our behalf. Amen? Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Beginning in verse 3. This is the Apostle Paul writing these words. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Let's pray. Every week, as you're in that, just have your heads bowed, an attitude of prayer. Every week, I begin this time, this sermon time, by saying, come, Holy Spirit. I want you to say that with me this week. If you really want the Holy Spirit to come and to speak this morning, let's say it together. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's say it again. Come, Holy Spirit. Father, we ask you to send your Spirit. Father, we know that you're already here, and in fact, you live inside of us if we are in Christ. But, Father, we ask you to come in power and to speak in power and authority. Manifest yourself in our presence and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you like ice cream? Well, let me, probably easier. How many of you don't like ice cream? A couple of you knuckleheads don't like ice cream. What's wrong with you, man? Golly. Well, y'all, this story, y'all can just kind of pretend that I'm saying something else. I like ice cream. My father-in-law really likes ice cream. He used to eat a bowl of ice cream every night until he, you know, gained like 1,000 pounds or whatever, and the doctor told him. Now he looks forward to his bowl of ice cream every Saturday night. So he's gone from 7 nights a week to 1 night a week, and I think he's better for it. But ice cream, we all have, if you like ice cream, you probably have your favorite flavor and your favorite brand. Maybe you like homemade ice cream. I remember you youngsters, you youth probably don't remember this. You probably never even heard it, but I remember sitting on the ice cream freezer. Don't you remember sitting on the ice cream freezer? And somehow, my brother always, we would supposedly alternate, but somehow I always got stuck cranking it the longest. And he was older, so he was bigger, so he, well, I'll sit on it, you crank, until I tell you to quit. But anyway, homemade ice cream is good. We got some people like Blue Bell and all these different flavors, Grandies and all these things. Well, have you ever heard of gelato? Gelato, somebody's like, it's hurting somebody back there. Gelato. I did some research on gelato. I want to tell you a little bit about gelato. It's an Italian word that basically means ice cream, but it's different than our American ice cream. And here's some of the differences. It's number one. It's typically in these are ballpark. It's typically around 5% fat content, whereas ice cream is 10% or so fat content. So there's less fat. It's churned slower than ice cream, which makes it kind of a denser product. And because of the churning it slower, it has 25% air, and the ice cream has 50% air. So that makes it denser. It's ice cream typically is stored, it's made and it's stored frozen, and you have to take it out of the freezer and you know, really, if you're really a professional connoisseur of ice cream, you let it thaw a little bit and just soften up so that it's kind of a little more creamy. Well, gelato is actually stored in, not in a frozen state, but it's stored in a cold state, but it stays kind of rich and smoothie and creamy. And because of all of these things that I'm mentioning, gelato coats your mouth differently. It's just a different texture, and it has kind of a more intense flavor to it if you've ever had it. Cheryl and I stumbled onto this place in South Lake. We were up there a couple of years ago called City Market, big one of those kind of organic marketplaces and everything. And they had all sorts of things in their store, and we stumbled onto the, Cheryl actually drugged me to the ice cream counter. I was kicking and screaming all the way. And we went, and they had this gelato, and I kept calling it like jalapeno, or I didn't know what it was. It's like, I want some of that stuff right there because it looked good. But they had this chocolate. It was this chocolate gelato. And I'm Cheryl, I mean, she just saved time, and she just got an IV and just injected it, hung a little deal, and we went around the store, and she had gelato going into her veins. But it was, man, it was so rich and creamy, and it just had this intense flavor, and it was, boy, it was, woo, good stuff. How many of you would like a scoop of that chocolate gelato right now? I tell that story for this reason. Our thoughts have great power. Just telling that story made many of you go, I'm going to check that City Marketplace out next time I'm in the Metroplex. I'm going to see if they can get that gelato here in town. You see, so if I say the words, just do it, who am I referring to? Nike. Like a good neighbor. I'm sorry, Risha. Never mind. Anyway, she works for a competitor. But do you think? Oh, State Farm. Well, okay then. You congratulate me. I'm sorry. I knew that. So you can cut me a check later for the free advertising. You know, these companies. I read last year on the Super Bowl that. I mean, they were paying like $1.2 million for a 30-second spot on the Super Bowl. Why do we do that? Why do advertisers do that? Because they know they can influence our thoughts and influence our minds, perhaps to make us purchase a product. Just me telling that story about gelato probably made many of you kind of craving that. So we continue our sermon series this week, What If? And instead of this year focusing on New Year's resolutions, you know, and that's fine to have New Year's resolutions, but I want us to think about, and Billy referred to our sign out front, what if, possibilities for a new year, and we're going to be, for several weeks, we're going to be handling what if. And so today, what if I thought godly thoughts? The mind, as I said, it's a very powerful thing. We can be influenced so easily with the mind. You know, we think about things in the past, and many things we think about in the past are good things. I have so many great and fond memories of being a little boy and growing up and all the things that I did growing up and playing catch with my dad, football and baseball, and getting black eyes from pop flies, and I remember that's one of the great things that I remember playing, being out in the street, and Jay and I would throw the ball for hours, just back and forth, and just playing catch. And then I remember gathering around in the living room and sitting around and playing country and gospel music with our guitars and singing and just the great memories from my past. And then as I got my own family, I have all these great memories of raising them. One thing that we did, I don't think I'll spoil this, but is there any little kids? Am I going to spoil, like, if I talk about Christmas stuff in here? Okay. We got some. All right, so I'll skip that. But just great memories. Great memories of raising my own family and things that we did. And yet there's also, for some of us, there's memories from our past that are hurtful memories. So the power of the mind has great impact on us. Sometimes we can have those hurtful memories from our past that actually puts us in bondage for years and years and years because of memories of things from our past. We also think about things that we're going to do, the future, and things that happen to us presently in our, you know, this past week at home or at work or in the traffic or whatever. We think about those things and we think about, you know, things for the future. So the mind is very powerful. So I want us to talk a little bit this morning about the power of our thoughts. And what if we thought godly thoughts? First thing we need to understand, there is a battle raging for your thoughts. I mean, literally, the passage that we read today speaks of it as a war. I mean, and that's scripture. That's not your crazy preacher, you know, making all this stuff up. It speaks of this war that we are in. It says that we do not wage war as the world does. So that tells you that Paul and God's word is telling us that we're in a war. We do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So there's this idea of our thoughts, our mind. There's a battle being waged in our minds, in our thoughts, and we need to understand that. And what we need to understand is that we have a Savior who wants to bless us and who wants to give us great joy in our mind and in our thoughts and in our heart. And we also have an enemy, the devil, that wants to destroy us, and many times he will use thoughts. It's one of his greatest weapons. Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he." We become what we think about. And I don't understand. I know that, you know, these days that with the internet and all, you know, pornography has just become rampant in our culture. And it's not out there on those evil non-Christians. It's everywhere. It's in the church. I've known pastors who've had addictions to that nasty stuff. And so I want us to think about if we're putting that kind of garbage into our mind all the time, whether it's pornography or whether it's something else, if we're putting that stuff into our mind all the time, do you think it's going to have an impact on us? You think it's going to have an impact on us? It might actually alter our behavior, impact our behavior. You see, the Apostle Paul says, we're in a war. Do we understand that? That our mind is a battlefield? In fact, Joyce Meyer, which Cheryl's going to be leading a study by Joyce Meyer, I know there's all sorts of opinions about women in the ministry and everything, but I mean, this lady speaks the word of God. And she speaks it powerfully, if you've never listened to any of her teachings. But she has a book actually called The Battlefield of the Mind, and I want to read a couple of quotes from her book. And from some of her teaching about this, she says, and I've mentioned this, the number one strategy of the devil is to plant thoughts in our mind that are contrary to the word of God. You see, even Jesus, the devil even did it to Jesus in the wilderness. He would come in and the devil even used scripture, but he perverted it and he twisted it, just like he did with Eve when God spoke to Eve and said, and Adam, and said, do all this stuff, and you got the run of the place, but don't do this, don't eat of this tree. And the devil came in and said, did he really say that? And our friend Lane spoke about that Saturday to the men's breakfast. Did he really say that? That's not really what he meant. So he's twisting and perverting the very words of God. And with Jesus in the wilderness, he starts using the word of God. And Satan, the audacity and the nerve of the devil quoting scripture to Jesus? He did it. But Jesus came back with the actual truth of God's word. So we need to understand that the devil plants thoughts in our mind, and they are always, always contrary to the Word of God. That's why we, anytime we have a thought, anytime we are prepared to act in any way on anything, it should never be contrary to the Word of God. If it's contrary to the Word of God, it's called this ugly word called sin. And that thought does not come from God. Also, back to Joyce Meyer, another quote. Where the mind goes, the man follows. I love that quote. If your mind goes out here and you start entertaining that, you will follow. You'll follow the mind. You cannot have a positive life, she says, and a negative mind. You cannot have a positive life and a negative mind. So I want to ask you a few questions. If you find yourself depressed, I want you to ask yourself what you've been thinking about right as you begin to feel that. What have you been thinking about right prior to feeling that feeling of depression? And you've probably discovered the source of your depression. If you're thinking about something that somebody did or life, it just stinks. It's just, don't ever get a break. And you start thinking about those kinds of things and you find yourself depressed. Perhaps there's a correlation. If you want to give up, you know, I've tried to do this. I've tried to be a better person. I've tried to go to church. I've tried to read God's word, and it just doesn't work for me. It works for, I don't know why, it works for all these other people. It just doesn't work for me. I'm just not going to even try. If you think about what you've been thinking about just prior to having that attitude, then perhaps you know the source of the feeling of hopelessness that you have. You see, the enemy plants these things in our minds. He wants us to dwell on how people have hurt us, how we have failed, all of these negative things. He wants to plant these things in our mind, get us to live there, dwell there, and it results in sin or hopelessness. If you feel bad about yourself, I'm just not worthy. I'm nobody. I'll never amount to anything. I can't do that. I can't make an impact in my family, in my life. I'm just worthless. Ask yourself, when you're feeling those things, what have I been thinking about? Right as I began to feel those things, what have I been thinking about? And you probably have stumbled onto the source of your feeling of worthlessness. Again, Paul in Ephesians 4 says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life, put off your old self. So you've got your old self, okay? Which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on a new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So we've got this this dichotomy of old self, the flesh, the things of the world, how people have hurt us, how they've disappointed us, and how we have failed, all of these things of the world. We're to put that off, and we're to put on this new self created like God in true righteousness and holiness. All right, so there is a battle for your thoughts and your mind. Second thing, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit are your weapons. The Word of God and the Holy Spirit are your weapons. I don't know how many people have this attitude, but I think the percentages are high. They're just this, I just can't change. I just can't. No, I can't. I bet you even some of you are thinking you can't control your thoughts. We're just like laying there, you know, tied down, victims of our thoughts. That's what many people live their life. I'm just, you know, these thoughts, these negative thoughts, dwelling on past hurts and failures and all these things, and we're just strapped down and we're just victims. My thoughts are my thoughts. There's nothing I can do about it. I want to tell you, that's a lie. That's a lie. There is something you can do about it. Know the Word of God. Because, see, the enemy says, you're worthless. You will never amount to anything. Word of God says, you're a child of the King. I hung on a cross for you. That's how much I love you. That's how I've proven my love for you. I've hung on a cross for you. I've died so that you could live. So we set things up, the world, and against the things of Christ, and we measure them against the Word of God. And so listen to verse 5 of the passage we started with. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against what? The knowledge of God. What's the knowledge of God? The Word of God. So we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Does that sound like victims? Does that sound like that we are just victims strapped down and we're just victim to our thoughts? Well, that's just the way it is. I can't control my thoughts. No. It's God's word says, take captive those thoughts. Make them obedient to Christ. If you're feeling worthless, if you're dwelling on these past hurts, take them captive and say, no, the word of God says this. The enemy says this about me and says this about the world, but Christ says this. We take them captive and make them obedient to Christ. It goes on in Romans 2. Again, the Apostle Paul says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Don't be victims to that, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. How do we renew our mind? We take on the mind of Christ. How do we know the mind of Christ? Through the Holy Spirit. And through God's word. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then it has a promise attached to that. It says, then, when you've been transformed by the renewing of your mind through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the God's word, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, Carlene talked about it with the kids this morning, that I lost my train of thought. What did she say about that?
Name.
Huh?
Name.
All right. We'll move on. Senior moment. That's what you get when your pastor just has bullet points on his sermon. You get senior moments occasionally. So, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and it equips us to be able to test and approve what God's is. And that's, she talked, I remember now, she talked about how, can you hear from God? Have you heard from God today? Remember her saying that? Have you heard from God? And I remember one of the little kids said, I heard from him last night. Did you hear him? I love that. I heard from him last night. So when you're transformed by the renewing of your mind, you will be able to test and approve what God's will, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. You begin to take on His mind and His thoughts. Now, I've told you this before, but every week as I'm preparing the sermon, as I've been preparing for this time, my prayer, at least part of my prayer, is always this. Holy Spirit, and this is from Scripture, says that the Holy Spirit will intercede for us to the Father. And so my prayer is, Holy Spirit, intercede for me to the Father. Make my heart His heart. Make my mind His mind. Make my words His words. You see, when we begin to press into God through His Word and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can begin to take on His mind and His heart. It says in Galatians 5, and I talked about this a few weeks ago, the fruit of the Spirit. So when we have the Holy Spirit living in us and we begin to press into the Holy Spirit, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Has anybody been working on memorizing those? I see a couple of hands. Memorize those, the fruit of the Spirit, because when we're of the world, that's not the fruit that happens. That's not the fruit that, I mean, we get thorn bushes when we're over here. But when we move over to the things of God and we begin to take on the mind of Christ, and we begin to press into the Spirit of God, we begin to produce good fruit. And the good fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruits of the Spirit, there's 9 of them. Memorize those, Galatians 5. And finally, the third thing. So we're in this battle. There's a battle for our mind, and our weapons are the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And finally, the battle is winnable. The battle is winnable. I'm not even sure that's a word, but I like it anyway. Again, Joyce Meyer says, the devil will give up when he sees that you are not going to give in. There's a passage, a video passage from an old Promise Keepers clip, and you've heard me, you've probably been here, if you've been here very long, I've played it in the past. E.V. Hill, a black pastor that spoke years ago, he's deceased now, but he talks about Jesus being in the wilderness, and some of y'all that have heard it, and I love it, and I can't, I'll give you my E.V. Hill impersonation, it's not very good, but he said, when the devil opens his mouth, you throw scripture in it. Hit him. Hit him with the word of God. Hit him. That's pretty good, wasn't it? I'd go hoarse if I preached like E.V. Hill. But he's screaming that to 20,000 men in this stadium. Hit him. Hit him. And he's just screaming it, and they're going nuts. Doesn't take much to preach if you've got passion. The devil will give up when he sees that you are not going to give in. When the devil accuses us and says, you're worthless, Jeff. No, I'm not. I'm a child of the King. And he loves me. He's proven it. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It doesn't even matter what I think. It matters what God thinks. And God thinks I'm priceless. So the battle is winnable. So I've already kind of given you the tools, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. Philippians 4 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. So we find ourselves so many times just dwelling into this woe is me. Woe is me. Look at all this stuff that's happened to me, and my circumstances are just horrible. Nothing goes right. That's not where when we dwell there, the enemy's got us right where he wants us. He's got us. We're defeated. Over here, we're defeated. But God says, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy, live there. Think about those things. Through the knowledge of the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can control your thoughts. And we have to understand that there's power in those thoughts. And you can learn to think like God. Did you know that? You can learn to think like God. Ask Him, God, through the power of your Holy Spirit, help me think like you. Help me feel like. We put way too much emphasis on feeling, by the way. So many times feeling offsets and it trumps the Word of God. That's not the way it should be. God has spoken. God has already proven how He feels about us. And who He is. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and Word of God, you can control your thoughts. You can learn to think like God. So I ask you, what do you think about? Where do you live in your mind? Perhaps it's this woundedness of the past. Perhaps it's the lusts of the future. Man, if I only had their money. If I only had, now we're getting personal, if I only had his wife, if I only had his job, if I only had her good looks, I mean, we can live in this future of if only I hadn't had this tragedy in my life, if only I, you know, whatever. What do you think about? Weigh your thoughts against Scripture. Are those thoughts from God? I want to tell you that God will never shame you. God will never shame you. And God will never give you a heart for, man, if only I could be rich or better looking or more successful or more athletic, or he'll never put us in that place. So if we're feeling those things, if we're thinking about those things, those things are not from God. What do you think about? Weigh your thoughts against Scripture. Who's directing those thoughts? Who's directing those thoughts? 1 Corinthians 15 says, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. So over here, that's this whole idea of sin and death and the law. We can't measure up. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you bow your heads to pray with me. In your own mind this morning, in your own mind, it's an act of the will. God is a gentleman and He will not force Himself on us, even in our thoughts. He will never force Himself on us. Jesus says, I come and I stand at the door and I knock. He doesn't kick in like a SWAT team. He doesn't kick in the front door. He stands at the door and he knocks. And he waits for an invitation to come in. So I just ask you now, in your own mind, with your own act of your own will, say, God, come into my mind. Give me your thoughts. Help me to see things the way you see things. Help me to see myself the way you see me. Those areas of struggle in your life, God, help me to see that from your perspective, to see that person from your perspective, that situation from your perspective. I surrender my thoughts to you, God. Father, you hear the cry of our heart. We're just so desperately needy of you. And we make a mess of things, God. We make a mess of things when we try to do it ourselves and rely on our own strength. And so we ask you, God, that you would give us this victory through Jesus Christ that you talk about in your word. That death and these negative thoughts would be swallowed up in victory. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, I ask you, God, to each mind right here in this place, to give them your mind, give them your thoughts, your heart. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we close this morning, I want to start something, and I do this from time to time, but I want to start something, and I want you to hold me accountable. I never want to close a service where you don't understand that if you have not made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, if you have not given your life to Him, I want you to understand that this is a good day to do it. This is a good day. This is a good place. And I'll tell you, I know if you've never done that, it can be a scary thing, but I just want to tell you that you'll never, that's one decision you'll never regret. So I want to invite you this morning, if you want to profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to come forward and I want you to tell me that, and we'll talk and I'll pray. If you want to come and you want to pray at the altar as well as we close this morning, do that as well. Let's stand.
Rushing wind blow through this temple, blowing out the dust within. Come and breathe your breath upon me, 'cause I've been born again. Holy Spirit, surrender. Take me where you Let me buy your living water. Plant me deep so I can grow. Cause Jesus, you're the one who sets my spirit free. Use me, Lord, and glorify your holy name through me. Separate me from this world. Sanctify my life for you. And daily change me to your image. And help me bear good fruit. Cause every day you're drawing closer. Trials come to test my faith, but when all is said and done, Lord, it's been worth the wait. Cause Jesus, you're the one who sets my Spirit free. Use me, Lord, and glorify your holy name through me.
Sing, use me, Lord.
Use me, Lord, and glorify your holy name.
Y'all be seated for just a second. This is Misty Varela, and she comes this morning to give her faith in Jesus Christ. We rejoice in that. We rejoice in that. What a great thing. So Misty, I just ask you now, Misty and I are going to be talking more about this, about where we go from here. And one of the things will be baptism, and we'll do that another time. But you come this morning to respond to Christ, and he's prompting your heart. And so I ask you now, do you confess and do you repent being a sinner?
Yeah.
And do you wish to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior in your heart?
Yeah.
Amen. And we will do the baptism at another date. So I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the cross. I thank you, Father, that you have said yes to Misty a long time ago. Father, you took the nails for her. But, Father, this morning she comes to say yes to you. And so, Father, I pray blessings. I pray a filling of your Holy Spirit on her. I pray, God, that you would seal this in her and you would not allow the enemy anywhere near. That you would seal this salvation experience in her, Father, and you have already begun to prepare a place for her, and the angels are rejoicing with us. And so, Lord, we pray blessings, and we just, Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you could stand, if you're able, and receive this benediction, and I'm going to ask Misty to stay here for just a little bit after the service. You can come and greet her. Go and take every thought captive. You are not a victim. You have victory through Christ Jesus. Now go and share that. Tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Cause Jesus, you're the one who sets my spirit free. Use me, Lord, and glorify your holy name. Use me, Lord, and glorify your holy name.